Welcome to the Veritas Equipping Podcast, a podcast designed to provide insight, resources, and biblical wisdom. Our mission as Veritas Church is raise up mature disciples, send out everyday missionaries, glorify God. Join us as we pursue Jesus to become mature disciples and effective disciple makers for God's glory.
Veritas, welcome to our Equipping Podcast. I'm here with a couple of our pastors, Matt Hofer and Michael Rhodes. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Good. How are you guys doing?
Hi. I'm ready for this podcast. As you can see in my handwritten questions.
All those people can see this video.
As you can see.
Oh, yeah. Clearly.
The people sitting at the table with me.
Something else, too. The previous podcasts have been in a little corner of a room upstairs around this little kids' table. And today's different.
We have an official closet.
Yes, we have an official closet. We have an official podcast closet.
We're in doing this. But today we're talking about how to handle the holidays like a Christian. And just before we started recording, Michael was like, so is this similar to the one we did last year? And all of us like, did we do this last year? We didn't remember. And chances are you don't remember either. But it's the holiday time that's we're all walking through. And we want to say, okay, how do we be uniquely Christian as we engage in celebrating, interacting with family? So we want to try to be helpful in that. But before we get into that, I know we get new people becoming a part of our church family, new people listening to this. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so my name's Matt. Going to celebrate my 43rd birthday here soon, also my 19th wedding anniversary to my wife, Emily. We have five kids.
Now, wait. You strategically.
Yes. I proposed on my birthday. And we got married on New Year's Eve for two reasons. One, well, three. One, our friends were going to be partying anyways. We might as well have them celebrate with us. Two, tax purposes. And then three, I would not forget my anniversary.
And four, because you love your wife.
clearly that, I mean.
Please don't let Emily listen to the first 5 minutes of this podcast.
And that's enough about me.
How many kids do you have?
Five.
All right. Yep.
All right. I'm Michael. Eric and I have been married for 15 years, and we have four kiddos.
So age range?
13 to 2.
Age range?
15 to 7.
Okay. I got three. One grandkid now. So some different stages, but close.
No, you're in a totally different stage than us, Jake.
Grandpa Jake.
I just really wanted to feel younger. I have an eighth grader. So there's commonality there. Yeah,
exactly. Right?
And then one in college and another one in college about ready to graduate with married and a kid. So any holiday traditions you guys have?
Yeah, we do one Sunday night of the Christmas season, we go to Culver's together as a family. Oh, yeah. And then we go look at Christmas lights together. Cool. So that's just kind of a fun thing we do.
Culver's? Kids meal is the best deal.
Yeah, that's with four kids. That's why we're going there.
You can get your ice cream right away, and they give you the tag for the free ice cream later.
Yep. Totally. Yes.
But yeah. You got to know this. That's important.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So we do that. That's just kind of a fun thing. We also do, we call it the Rhodes Bros hot chocolate sale.
That just happened.
It did just happen. So this is our fifth year doing it. And the whole reason behind it, well, one, our oldest son decided he wanted to do something fun to raise money for a family 5 years ago when he was eight. And now it's just become a tradition for our family where we try to teach our kids, hey, this whole season's not about you. It's about giving because it's about God giving his son. And so let's do something. So we started the first year thinking like, okay, if he raises, he's thinking, I'm going to raise $100. If we can, you know, Eric and I are looking at each other like, you're doing a hot chocolate sale, maybe $20 if you're lucky. And it's turned into a really sweet thing where many people participate and Venmo money from across the country because family can't be here. And so we've been able to support a lot of people. But really the goal was like, hey, we want to teach our kids to give. And it's turned into a wonderful thing where our neighbors all gather around, people from the church gather around, friends from school gather. So we get to have just tons of interaction with people that time. So that's probably the coolest tradition that we do.
It's grown quite a bit. So Rhodes Bros.
Rhodes Bros Hot Chocolate Sale, which is we're going to have to change the name at some point because now we have a little girl. Three older bros. So Rhodes Bros and a girl. I don't know what it's going to be called. She just danced and hung out and enjoyed the company this year.
Eliza and the Rhodes Bros Hot Chocolate.
Yeah, we'll see what the name.
Front lady.
Yeah.
Why not? Now, is it do you get fancy with hot chocolate? Is there whipped cream? Is there sprinkles? Is there
There's marshmallows.
Marshmallows.
Also candy canes.
Okay.
This year – I'll tell the secret of this year. Erica went to a baby shower the night before, and they had hot chocolate for the baby shower. And, like, I think five people drank a massive amount from Hy-Vee. And they were like, what are we going to do with all this hot chocolate? And we're like, well, we have a hot chocolate sale tomorrow. So, no, it's usually just from Sam's.
All right.
That's awesome. We do quite a few things. Ever since our kids were younger, we started doing like gingerbread houses. So we just decorate gingerbread houses together as a family, which isn't anything special in and of itself, but just time to kind of slow down, hang out for a morning or whatever. Christmas cookies, we cut down a Christmas tree. I was never a real Christmas tree guy. We'd always just pull out of a box when I was younger, throw some decorations on. And Emily liked the cutting down, so we've adopted that. Depending on age of our kids, we've done different kind of Advent devotionals, whether it's like Jesse tree things, you kind of color something as you're listening to a story. And now that they're getting older, I mean, like we're diving into God's word more and stuff like that. So just trying to be intentional there. And we try to kind of guard Christmas morning just as a family, even though our family's close. We love spending time with our extended family, but just like, what does it look like to just kind of be our own nuclear family for a half of a day before we go spend time with family? So stuff like that.
We do a Christmas cookie decorating contest, and we'll usually take some pictures and send it to friends or family to judge, kind of a blind judging. We've done that for a long time. And then highlight is Christmas Eve's a long day for us, but Mars gets a bunch of appetizers. And when we get home after the last Christmas Eve service, it's pajamas, movies, apps, and it's a sweet night.
It's awesome.
I look forward to that.
One other thing that Erica started a long time ago, when we get Christmas cards in the mail from different people, whenever we get them, we pray for them at dinner, pray for those families at dinner time and before we like put them up on our door frame. But that's just been a really sweet time to – now we're trying to teach our kids to pray for these families. And they're like, we don't know this family because you've known them for years and we don't have a clue. So the prayers that get prayed for some of these families are interesting as we teach our kids.
But this is sweet because it's like you're talking about Advent devotionals. You're raising money to support families and praying
Christmas
for people.
Cookies,
and I'm like eating chicken wings.
I mean, Culver's was part of our thing too.
Yeah.
Okay, so Christmas, this is what we want to talk about. Christmas is a Christian holiday. We're celebrating the birth of our Savior. It's a holiday that's also been completely embraced and hijacked by our society. So it's a big deal in our culture. How should Christians uniquely celebrate Christmas? What should be different between a Christian celebrating of Christmas and a non-Christian celebrating of Christmas? And where's like overlap that's okay? So here's my question. Yep. How should a Christian uniquely celebrate Christmas?
I mean, this may seem like the most basic thing ever, but Jesus can't be avoided.
Right.
Like you have to talk about Jesus. And when your kids get tired of you asking the question, if you have a family, like, what's Christmas about? And they say, Jesus, like Jesus coming to earth, you know, like, yeah. And you keep talking about it. When your kids want to stop talking about it, you keep talking about it. So just don't avoid Jesus, I think, from the most basic, simple level. Yeah.
Yeah. I also just think, I mean, Christmas and holidays in general for a lot of people, but just like it's so busy and so stressful. It's just this giant task list of things to do. And so how should a Christian be uniquely different? I mean, I really think that like slow down, focus on Christ. Why are we celebrating this? What do healthy rhythms look like that we can not only do this year, but also for plenty of years to come? And just kind of establishing your own traditions that aren't crazy, full of, you know, going this way and that way and stress and buying tons of stuff. I mean, just like how can we be intentional this Christmas, like you're saying, Michael, and just really focus on why we're celebrating it in the first place and just our hope and our joy and our satisfaction being in Christ? And what does that look like to lead out with that?
Sure. And I think so often that I hear comments, and probably at some point over the years, I've made this comment like, oh, December's so busy. Yes, It shouldn't be frantic. You should still, right. like as a Christian, remain joyful during the lots of Christmas performances and all those things you have to attend and the parties. But like, you shouldn't be frantic and crazy, like stressed out. Like,
so you use two different words there that are insightful, busy and frantic. What's, how does somebody know when it's like, yes, December's busy, welcome to December, and it's crossed the line into frantic?
I mean, that's a great question. I think when your heart starts to be pulled in a different direction, you've gone like – you've crossed the line. Mm. Like where you're – it's affecting your emotions. It's affecting how you treat other people. It's taken
– Jesus is getting a little shorter.
Totally. Yeah. And again, you've taken your attention off the Lord. If you've gotten so frantic that you're like, oh, I forgot to even like – read the Christmas story at any point, you know, like okay, I have an open like Bible.
Important like, things are being forgotten.
Yep.
Fuse is getting shorter.
I mean, you just find yourself like, why are we doing this? Like, why am I here? Like, why am I, you know, whatever it is, whether it's like shopping somewhere, doing just like you just forget why you're doing what you're doing. And life just becomes crazy. One thing to the next and the days are a blur and it's just nuts.
What are the traps? And these may be obvious, but let's bring them to the surface. What are the traps that people can fall into in the holiday season that's not helpful or distracting from Christ?
Yeah, I mean, I think Christmas is a season in which, especially for those people who are people pleasers, of just feeling like you got to say yes to everything. And I got to be all things to all people. And so my days and ultimately my weeks – revolve around making sure that all my kids are happy and making sure that I'm pleasing my in-laws and making sure that – and it's just like you're – once again, you're not even realizing why you're doing what you're doing, but you're just saying yes to all these things and not spending time in God's word or in prayer and just kind of forgetting what Christmas is about in the first place. And so I think just a trap in general is people say yes to everything. They have no idea why they're doing what they're doing, and then December's over and they're like, please don't let that happen for another 12 months.
Sure. I think – and that goes along with when we talked about Halloween in the past. Like you've mentioned this before too, Matt. Like you got to remember why you're doing – have you ever even asked yourself, right, why are we doing these things?
Right.
Because if you're just going through the motions, like you're not like reclaiming that holiday, whatever it may be, right? And I think the same goes for Christmas. I would say one trap is kind of the keeping up with the Christmas Joneses. Mm-hmm. Keeping up with the social media Joneses, like, oh, these people, look at that party that they had. Look at the thing that they baked. I should try that. And you just get caught up and like, oh, I got to do what everybody else is doing. No, you don't. You don't have to do that at all. And I think that goes back to the root of it is the people pleasing, right? Mm-hmm. I want to look and appear like that I'm great with Christmas, but internally you're dying.
Mm. Yeah. What about handling Santa?
Yeah.
How do we –
this? I mean this – I'm not saying this is the right answer.
Paul,
but we,
maybe if you have kids in the car, you potentially want to pause this. Maybe not want to pause it at all. Yeah. I don't know. That's up to you. But
you want to continue to
– correct. Yes, I'm with you, Jake. I know where you were going there.
We just decided early on we don't want to intentionally lie to our kids. And you can even say, well, it's not that big of a deal. But for us, we were just convicted that like in us pretending that something exists that doesn't we felt like we were lying to our kids. And so we've told them from the beginning, like,
wait a second. Are you saying don't lie to your kids?
Yeah. We are saying don't lie to your kids. Therefore, because of that, we've never made Santa seem real.
Mm-hmm. Like, now you said seem real. Do you play?
No. Now we had to convince our kids Santa wasn't real.
They didn't believe you. No, they didn't. You're an untrustworthy guy. Dad's telling us, like, I don't know.
But we saw him at the mall. No, you didn't.
Dad, he's right there.
Yeah. But yeah, so when it comes to the Easter Bunny tooth, like we've said when somebody loses a tooth, the dad fairy comes and gives it. Like, I mean, we just like said, and the reason there is because I would remember and Emily wouldn't. So it just became the dad fairy.
Matt Holford, AKA the dad fairy.
Yeah. But no, we just felt convicted. Like we don't want to lie to our kids. We feel like telling our kids Santa's real or even acting as if he was would be lying to our kids. And we just don't want to do that.
Yeah. And we felt we're in the same boat as you guys. And it felt like we would be teaching our kids like, oh, God's an imaginary character just like Santa. Mm-hmm. And it feels like, oh, you've blurred the lines of faith of what, you know, I'm not putting my hope in Santa. But that's what we were in essence doing, or people do. And so we've just said, no, we're not going to lie to our kids, and we're not going to pretend that God is some imaginary figure like Santa, Easter Bunny, those kind of things.
Yeah, we – our kids always knew that Santa was a real we would play. We'd say, it's okay to pretend.
Yeah,
we can pretend. My concern, though, was we didn't want to act like this imaginary pretend thing that we're doing – is better and more magical than the real thing.
Right.
Sure.
So that was the tension of like, yeah, it's okay to pretend. It's not real. It's, you know, but a kid can get really excited about flying reindeer and somebody comes down the chimney to give presents, and to the undermining of like, there's a real God who came down in the form of a human to die for our eternal salvation. So never wanting to kind of look like the make-believe is better than the real thing.
Sure.
So that was the tension.
And I think even the reason I said like parents pause this if your kids are in the car, because I think maybe there's some people that might be listening to this that have never even thought to have this conversation. Yeah. And I would rather them – I mean, one, if they hear it from their pastors, blame it on us. That's fine. Yeah. Like I don't care. Yeah. But I would like you to like think about it and have that conversation with your husband, with your wife.
And you know. No parent is wanting to lie to their kids.
No.
They're wanting their kids to have a good Christmas.
Yeah.
They enjoy the – they're a kid and imagination. Like there's good intent behind that. I would just say the real thing is better than the make-believe.
Right.
Like get into the real thing. Celebrate the real thing. You could give presents, wrap, but like you said before, it's coming because we've got the greatest gift ever. So just don't unintentionally – undermine the greatness of the real Christmas story with the with the made up one.
And we've kind of said, like, especially as our some of our kids have gotten a little older, but not like to where everybody's recognizes the fictional side of it. I think we've just said, like, hey, if somebody says something at school, just play along with them for a little bit.
Yeah.
But you don't have to lie either. Like you can, you know, like you can tell them, like, no, Santa's not real. But like,
I've told you guys. Moses revealing Santa's not real before, haven't I?
Maybe.
We were living in Arizona, and Santan Village is this outdoor mall, and there's a huge line to see Santa, like over 100 yards long. And we're walking next to it. We're not in the line, but we were walking next to it, and I'm walking probably 10 yards in front of my family because it's like shopping. Let's go. Let's get after this. And Mo yells up to me, parallel to this line, "Hey, Dad!" I'm like, what? And he's like, "I think Santa's just one big fat distraction from Jesus." And I look, and at the line, all these parents are staring at me, and their kids are like, "This, you know, like, what did they?" And I was like, "He ain't lying. Like, looks like you gotta have some conversations on the way home."
Oh my gosh,
cat's out of the bag now.
Yeah, I mean, I would also say, I mean, you mentioned earlier, Michael, just about like helping your kids. Like just not think Christmas is all about me. And I think a trap people can fall into and even kids can fall into is just like, if I get this gift or if this happens or if, you know, I mean, I shared this morning in our staff Devo that when I was, this is relevant for you if you were alive in the '80s, I wanted this Teddy Ruxpin animal, which was like this bear that you put a cassette tape in.
Michael's on my table and he knew it right away.
Oh yeah.
I grew up in the '80s and must have missed out.
I thought that if I had this bear that you put a cassette tape in and he talked to you, like my life would be radically changed.
Well, Matt, I had one and my life wasn't.
And then I got one. I was like, this is the dumbest thing ever. But I mean, just really, I think twofold, helping your kids see that your hope and joy is not in something, is not in a gift. It's not in like something that you could potentially get for Christmas, but also the flip side is just like helping them see and experience the joy in giving. And so even in our family, like our kids will draw names and then they'll give a present to one of their siblings and we'll go pick it out with them and all those things. And just like, it's really exciting to see them be more excited for that and to see what their brother or sister will think of the gift they gave them versus all the presents that they may or may not get. Mm. And so just kind of trying to instill that from an early age, like it is really a great blessing to be able to bless other people.
So let me play maybe a little devil's advocate here, or just help clarify, help our families.
Yep.
If you've got young kids,
yep.
How do you have that conversation with a young kid that hasn't like got this fully formed mind around like theological topics? Like, just how would you encourage a mom or a dad listening to this podcast to have that conversation with their kid
about
Santa or about, hey, this is not about you?
The Santa one, I would just always be very clear. This is what Christmas is about.
Yeah.
And it's magical. It's amazing. We kind of pretend this, but mm-hmm. so don't like lead out with Santa and then like, oh yeah, it's actually about Jesus. And it just kind of seems like the, latecomer to the party on that. So I would lead out with the real meaning of Christmas, but with the presents, yeah. How would you about, it's not just about getting
sure. gifts. Is there a way that you would talk to them about that yeah, in I a mean, simple way, understandable way?
We did this was one of our traditions as a family that our kids really got into. We would, in our budget, set aside a good chunk of money for us. It was a good chunk of money that we let our kids on and say, let's pick a family we want to bless. And we would try – we would have fun with it. We would, like, drop off presents, like, through December at their door, knock and leave. And we wouldn't let them know until Christmas Eve. Then we would let them know who it was. That was something our kids really got into. Like, this is fun, partly because you're running through people's backyards at night with your right, kids yeah. and they're excited and, go get some Dairy Queen afterwards. And we'd kind of like, what do we want to do for this? And so that was a giving activity that they found was really fun.
Sure.
So that was helpful in that.
Yeah. I'd say several things. I think one thing, what you just said, just trying to create ways in which kids – so ever since our kids were younger, we didn't always like buy a bunch of presents for people, but they would always make things for people, whether it was a Christmas ornament or my kids have weird talents where they can draw or crochet or whatever. And so like just
– we've got a Hofert crochet hat in our house.
Yeah. So I mean like just helping them like what – can you uniquely do to bless somebody else, whether you're 2 years old and you make them some Christmas ornament or whether you're a little bit older and can actually give them something that,
sure.
that is cool. I think that's one thing. I also, it's one thing to tell your 3, 4, 5-year-old, hey, this isn't going to be awesome if you get a pro, but it's another thing to do it in retrospect. And so even when our kids got gifts that they thought were the best thing ever, like you almost just sit and wait until they don't like it anymore or until it breaks or until
– I mean 10 minutes after.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. You know, and so just even using that as a teachable moment to just help them see like you were so excited for this and you're anticipating this so much. And at the end of the day, like it didn't satisfy. Mm. And then there's kind of a natural segue into where we do place our hope, where we do. And so that isn't a even necessarily like a thing you talk about even before Christmas, but you're almost just like laying in wait, waiting for something they get to let them down.
You mean you don't put really old batteries in toys so it dies yeah, quickly?
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean just using those like – I just remember being younger and like looking forward to so many things and Teddy Ruxpin and whatever else. And it's like this just doesn't satisfy. This just doesn't give joy. And so even back to what you were saying, Jake, earlier as far as like help them see why we do celebrate Christmas, point to the one who can satisfy. And maybe they don't understand that as a 4-year-old, right? But you keep talking about those things. And
So on Teddy Ruxpin.
Yeah.
And present. Credit card companies love December.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it is – there's so much pressure to provide for your kids everything that they want and yeah. – the amount of money families tend to spend during the holidays. So not only do you have travel and different food expenses, but the gift giving, and it grows to the expectations on you have to get gifts for teachers and coaches and neighbors and all your right. kids. Like where
we just disappoint people. At our sorry,
guys. There's yeah, and you just kind of wonder like the pressure, and then just even for your own kids of what they want, like how much do you figure out how to spend, and a lot of people just kind of find themselves in January like, oh, we got ourselves, we dug ourselves a hole that we need to get out of. How should a Christian uniquely handle the holidays financially?
Yeah, I mean. Not specifically, but just be responsible, I think is one thing. But I think even when our kids were younger, we kind of had categories of presents. So it was like, you can get something that you wear, you'll get something that you can read, and then you'll get something that you want. And so, like, I mean, it wasn't this, yo, what do you guys want? Make your list. You know, it's going to be tons. It's like, no, we're trying to.
Oh, so you gave him like categories to think of.
Yeah. Like,
we're going to temper your expectations.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So we're going to get you something that you wear, which might not be that great. Might be a sock. No, it was usually
a sock.
You get the next one for your birthday.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, like we're going to get you something that you can read, whether that's a book you want or like a kid's Bible or something along those lines. And then, yeah, we'll get you something that you want. But even there, it's like, it's not going to be this awe inspiring thing. It's going to be like, we're not going to go, you know, spend all of our money, empty out our savings, use credit cards, et cetera. It's just going to be practical and reasonable. Mm.
Yeah, I think the unique thing is to say, okay, my money is not my own. Mm-hmm. I'm a steward of what God has given me, graciously given me. And so I want to steward what he's given me really well. So I would say just you need to talk about it with your spouse or talk about it with a friend. If you're a single person, talk about it with a friend. Like, hey, is this okay that I'm spending this much on? So talk about it with somebody, but have a plan. You need to tell your money where to go and not like let the – because if you just wait and you don't talk about it, you're going to spend an exorbitant amount that you don't – you're like, oh, no, I had no idea that I just kept buying because I didn't have a plan. And so from a practical side, talk about it, have a plan, and stick to the plan.
Yeah. Yeah, form that budget and then stick to it. Yeah. Give your kids the gift of disappointment. Realize – hey,
I told my kids the other day. So there were times when I was younger where my dad would get laid off or something. And I remember one – and I'm not a huge gift guy, and maybe this is like why. I remember one Christmas. So my birthday is on Christmas Eve and then it's Christmas. For Christmas, I got shampoo and whiteout. Those are my Christmas gifts. And just remember thinking like – yeah, like there's a reason why I'm not getting other stuff and just kind of being content with that. I think at the time it was probably hard, but in hindsight, I'm so glad my parents didn't put stuff on credit and give me whatever I wanted, even though they couldn't afford it. And just helping them understand, hey, this Christmas might be a little bit lighter than this one, or we want to bless somebody because we've been blessed, or just like helping them see in an age-appropriate way, like why you're doing what you're doing.
Do your kids get you gifts?
Mm-hmm.
Do your kids get you gifts?
Depends on which one.
Yeah. And most of ours are like they make something or write something or paint something or draw. Yeah. So it isn't like they go spend a bunch of money. But yeah, they're intentional. I would say our kids probably are more intentional with the gifts that they give us because they think about it, they make it, they create it than we are with them.
That's great. Yeah.
As my kids got older, they're like, okay, you can start to spend some money. I remember I drove them to Fleet Farm. I was like, my present is in that store. Go get it. Yes. They come back empty handed. Like, we didn't see anything we liked. And I was like, I don't know what you like.
Try again. Right. Try again. We'll be here as long as we need to.
All right. So here's another challenge for Christians over the holidays. It's a time a lot of families gather. There can be a joyful time of family gatherings. There can be stress around that. In interacting, potential conflict, how should Christians behave and handle themselves in family dynamics over the holidays?
Just a couple of bullet points here. I would say pray before you go into those. I think that's a simple thing that people forget about. Like, Lord, I want to honor you during this time. Praying with your family on the way there or before your family comes over to your house, just saying like, God, help me to honor you. Help me to speak words that are kind and wise and speak of you. And so I would say just pray, number one. And then like ask questions. You don't have to be the like expert on everything. Humble yourself. Ask other people. Everybody likes to have questions asked to them, you know, about their life. So it's okay if you go the night and nobody asks you a question and nobody says anything to you. So I think those are two just practical things.
Yeah, I think often Christians have expectations for non-believers as if they were believers. And so I think just going in with like, I don't expect my uncle or my brother or whoever else is an unbeliever to act as a believer.
Yeah.
Right. And so I'm going to go in there, like Michael was saying, with a little bit more of a missional mind, trying to engage them, trying to be hospitable, kind, right? Reflect Christ well, not be disappointed if he or she thinks it's all about them, because what else would they think, right? And so, yeah, I just see people have these expectations for the holidays, and it very rarely ever goes that way. And then they just leave upset, bitter. There's division. It's like, gosh, that's not helpful. Mm. Right. And often it's because the unbeliever act as unbelievers do, and the Christian is upset with that.
Mm. Yeah. You probably have a lot of opportunities on your way home with your kids to have conversations about that. That's helpful. All right. Let's wrap it up this way. What's one piece of pastoral advice or wisdom that you would want our people to like hold on to going into the holidays here?
I would say husbands and dads, lead. Mm-hmm. Lead in celebration. Lead in joy. You don't be the frantic one. Lead – like you set the tone for your family and your joy. Lead in talking about the budget. Lead in like all those – lead in the money conversations. Lead in reminders about this is about Jesus. Like so dads, lead.
Yeah. I think mine is just ask yourself the question whether you're young, old, married, single, kid, I mean, whatever the case is, whatever your context is, how am I going to intentionally look towards and celebrate the coming of Christ? That can look a bunch of different ways, but at least you're thinking ahead of time, what is being intentional this Advent season or this December look like, and then do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Two come to my mind. One, on a practical level, make a budget, stick to it.
Yep.
Don't get yourself in trouble in the holidays financially. And two, don't make the make-believe more magical than the real thing to your kids. Because there's nothing more joyful, wonderful, amazing than the real Christmas story.
Yeah.
And we want to make that clear and celebrate that. So uniquely as Christians, that's what we do.
Yeah.
We're excited and we celebrate, and it truly is the most wonderful time of the year because of Jesus Christ. Not other stuff. So, church family, hopefully this was helpful to you as you navigate the holidays. We look forward to seeing you in our Advent series here on Sunday mornings and Christmas Eve. And we hope you do have a great Christmas season, one that glorifies God. Love you guys.